We're all aware of what spiritual failure looks like. We see someone who does something, says something, or has an attitude that is contrary to the Word of God. Is spiritual failure just disobedience to the Word of God? What is the root cause of such failure? Rehoboam learned about the cause and consequences of spiritual failure the hard way. Let's look at what happened to him and see what we can learn from it. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. In the first part of this passage, it talks about Rehoboam's sin. Verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him." After Rehoboam established his kingdom and even made it strong, he and the whole nation forsook the law of the Lord by practicing Canaanite idolatry. Now, the verse I just read doesn't say that, but 1 Kings chapter 14 does. The next verse in 1 Chronicles said, "And it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the law." The Lord. Because they had transgressed against the law, this Egyptian king besieged the city of Jerusalem. That particular pharaoh ruled from 935 to 914 BC. He had earlier given a solemn to Jeroboam, not Rehoboam, Jeroboam. Matter of fact, on the walls of a temple in Egypt are carved the names of the cities in Judah that he conquered. Jerusalem is not listed, but other cities are. Verse 3 says, "And 1,200 chariots, 6,000 horsemen and people without number who came with him out of Egypt." And then it lists some other countries that participated as well. So now, 5 short years after Solomon had died, the Egyptians were at Jerusalem's gate. Interesting, just 5 years. "And he took the fortified cities of Judah and came to Jerusalem." Rehoboam's fortified cities avail to nothing. The Egyptian pharaoh subdued Judah, not because of Egyptians' military superiority, but because, the text says, Judah was unfaithful to the Lord. Then this Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and gathered together in Jerusalem because of the activities of the Egyptian. And he said to them, I'm in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore I have left you in the hands of Shishak." Notice, verse 1 says, "He forsook the law." Verse 5 says, "You forsook me," meaning the Lord. So this chapter gives us another example of Rehoboam's lack of wisdom. The writer points out clearly the connection between this Egyptian evasion and Rehoboam's unfaithfulness to the Lord and to his word. So, these opening verses simply tell us about his sin. The next section in this chapter tells us about his confession. It says, "So the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, 'The Lord is righteous.'" The inhabitants of the kingdom, here called Israel, but it's actually the kingdom of the southern kingdom, Judah, are a contrast to the people who followed the Lord. They acknowledged, however, that he is righteous, and they are in essence saying, and he's righteous in allowing this besiege of the city of Jerusalem. So verse 8 says, now when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to this prophet that was ministering to Rehoboam. And the prophet said, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. My wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they will be his servants, and they may distinguish my servant from the servant of the kingdom of the nations. By the way, this is an illustration of 2 Chronicles 7:14. Remember that verse? If you humble yourself, the Lord would heal the land. Well, the first part of this chapter says they sinned. The next part says they confessed. And the Lord says, all right, I'm not going to let you let them destroy the city. By the way, a minute ago I mentioned that the cities he conquered were listed. We've got that. Archaeologists have discovered that. And Jerusalem wasn't listed. Well, maybe it's because they besieged it and they got some concessions from it, but they didn't conquer it, so maybe that's why it's not listed. At any rate, the Lord's mercy and grace provided deliverance to the nation because they repented. Now, the next part of this passage is Rehoboam's consequences. The first part was simply his sin. The second was his confession. And now there are consequences. So the king of Egypt came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shield which Solomon had made. Now, he took spoils of war, so to speak. But the spoils of war included the treasuries of both the temple and the palace. So the people were spared, but the kingdom was spoiled, in the words of one commentator. Then Rehoboam, according to verse 10, made a bronze shield in place of that gold shield and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway to the king's house. In other words, he tried to adjust. He substituted the bronze shield for the gold shield, unwittingly illustrating God's presence and favor, and the gold was replaced by his judgment, the bronze. Verse 11 says, whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guard would go and bring them out. Then they would take them back into the guard room. In other words, to protect the new shields from theft, guards carried these new shields from the guard room to the temple and then back whenever Rehoboam went to the temple. Verse 12 says, when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to destroy him completely, and the things also went well in Judah. The king's conduct had inevitable consequences on the nation. When the king obeyed the Lord blessed the nation. When the king turned away from the Lord, his subjects suffered. But when the king repented and humbled himself before the Lord's forgiveness and restoration would cover him and his kingdom. So, what we've seen so far in this chapter is Rehoboam's sin, Rehoboam's confession, and Rehoboam's consequences. He got his palace and the temple sacked, spoiled. There's one more little section in this, and it sort of summarizes the whole Rehoboam record. It's in verses 13 through 16. Verse 13 says, thus King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. How Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And it goes on to talk about his mother, and it says in verse 14, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Overall, Rehoboam failed to set his heart on the Lord. This resulted in his doing evil, namely leading the people not to lead people following the Lord. So verse 15 says, the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah, the prophet? And he goes on to talk about other places where it might have been written. These records then provide some source material for 2 Chronicles. Then we're told in verse 16, so Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Then Abijah, his son, reigned in his place. In latter years, Rehoboam reigned with power and wealth, at least to some degree. He died at age 58 and was buried in the Jerusalem here called the City of David. Interesting, his reign characterized by an evil heart toward the Lord, incessant war with Jeroboam, was chronicled, the historian says, in other parts of written material. So, in this very short little chapter in 2 Chronicles, we could sum it up by saying, because of Rehoboam's deliberate disobedience to the law and departure from the Lord himself, the Lord allowed the Egyptians to spoil Jerusalem. But because of Rehoboam's repentance, the consequences in this case were not death and destruction. It was the sacking of Jerusalem's treasure. And when Rehoboam humbled himself, the Lord continued to bless him. The root cause of spiritual failure is not just obedience to the Word of God, disobedience to the Word of God, I should say. It is departure from the Lord himself. In his emphasis on the immediate retribution, the chronicler is warning the restored community against any complacency or presumption that the punishment might be deferred as it had been in the past. The difference between Rehoboam and his grandfather David was David sought the face of the Lord, and Rehoboam did not. Very important little point. I started out by saying, what is the root cause of spiritual failure? And from this we can see that it is forsaking your relationship with the Lord, which means disobedience to the word of the Lord. That's the root problem. I want to conclude by reading a rather long article. An author named Kenneth Yates wrote an article in which he said this, and I quote, in Romans 6 through 8, Paul has a lengthy discussion on the Christian life. The believer can walk by the flesh, that is, in his own power, or by the Spirit. The former results in the wrath of God and the deadly consequences of sin. The latter results in life and peace. Paul compares the way a believer lives to slavery. The believer can be a slave of sin, or he can be obedient. This author says, recently I found a great illustration of this principle in the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. After the death of Solomon, his son Rehoboam ruled in the southern kingdom of Judah. It is said in 2 Chronicles 11 that at first Rehoboam followed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord when the Lord told him not to attack the northern kingdom of Israel. He acted wisely. The nation worshiped the Lord through sacrifices at the temple. It became a refuge for people who wanted to flee the idolatrous nation of Israel in the north. And what was the result of these things? Judah was secure. They were able to build cities for protection. They were able to place weapons of war in every city. They had an abundance of food and enjoyed peace with their surrounding nations. But all of that changed in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. It is said that Rehoboam forsook the law of the Lord. In verse 15, it says that he also did not seek the Lord. In chapter 11, we get the glimpse of the rejection of the Lord. Like his father Solomon, he had taken to himself many wives and concubines, 11:21. We can assume that these pagan wives played a role in leading him away from the Lord. And what was the result of these things? Egypt attacked them. Egypt subjected them. Their fortified cities were captured. It is said in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 5 and verse 7, that Judah experienced the wrath of God through the Egyptian Pharaoh. The Egyptian took the golden shields, the weapons of war, and other treasures found in Rehoboam's palace. In 12:8, we're given a great summary of what happened with Judah and Rehoboam. Through a prophet, God tells them that they are experiencing by means of the Pharaoh. God has allowed them to become his slaves. This allows them to see the difference between being the servants of God and the servants of Egypt. In talking about the difference between serving the Pharaoh and God, the prophet says, quote, "Nevertheless, they will be his servants, that they may distinguish my service from the service of the kingdom of the nations," end of quote. When they served God, they experienced peace and prosperity. When they disobeyed him, they became slaves to the one who gave them war and robbed them of blessings from God. They could see the difference right before their eyes. The author concludes his article, and I think an application of this passage, by saying, and again I quote, "Isn't it the same way for Christians today? We walk with the Lord through the power of the Spirit. We can see the blessings of God in our lives. When we choose to disobey God, we see the negative consequences in our lives. Whom would be the Jews living in Jerusalem want to serve, God or Pharaoh? Whom would want to serve the Lord or sin? The people of God have always had the same choice." End of quote. In other words, Rehoboam illustrates a very basic biblical principle. Obey the Lord and you are blessed. Disobey the Lord and you suffer the consequences of sin. Father, again, we thank you for giving us illustrations in Scripture that so vividly portray spiritual truth. Thank you for this lesson and for your grace that gives us the ability to apply it. In Jesus' name, amen.